Thank you for joining us today at LifePoint Church. We believe Sundays are an opportunity to know God. For more information, including locations, service times, and small groups, please visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. Let's jump into the message.
What's up, LifePoint Church? How y'all doing today, everybody? Come on now. Aren't you glad you came to church on Palm Sunday, everybody? This is the beginning of Passion Week, and we want to say welcome to all of you. My name is Mike Burnett. This is my wife, Stephanie, everybody. We are preaching together today, y'all. Come on now. First time we've ever done this. Have we preached together on a Sunday?
Yeah, during the pandemic. Lots happened.
That's all a memory to me. I just live to the future. Come on, everyone. Hey, well, we're glad that you're here, and especially if you're a first-time guest with us, we want to say a welcome to you and everybody joining us online at our Austin Peay State University campus. Come on, everybody. Say what's up to Austin Peay, everybody. We're so glad you're here. We have a campus also south of Nashville in Antioch, a daughter church there, and also in Long Island, New York, everybody. We are running service up there. That's very exciting. Hey, do me a favor, everybody, grab your phone right now. Come on, grab your phone. I can see you not grabbing your phone. That's fine. Thank you for doing that. Share the link to our service right now. In fact, if you have your social media, you can tag your church, put a fun quote, a picture of your pastors if you want, whatever you want to do, and just let's share. And every time you share, they say you'll add 100 people to our live stream. And so it's live on our Facebook page right now, our website, however you want to share that on Twitter, X. You can't share on Instagram, but whatever. Hey. How's it going?
Yes, so this is Palm Sunday, and like Mike said, this is the week that we celebrate as Christians, the Passion Week of Jesus. Yeah. So I want to encourage each of you, make sure you take time this week to spend some time with the Lord. Open your Bible, and I want you to read the passages about where Jesus was crucified, where they buried him, and then he rose again next Sunday.
Right.
And we're so excited. This is the crux of our faith.
That's
Amen,
right.
Church?
Yep.
So let's not go too busy planning our Easter dinner and Easter egg hunts that we forget to actually spend time with the one that it's all about. So we're so excited about next week. So be sure to invite friends. We've got these little invite cards here.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm going to grab it here. Okay, so we've got these. Listen, statistically speaking, they say if you invite somebody to come with you to church, they will come if it's a personal invite. So grab a card, invite some friends this week, and let them sit with you. Now, if you're not going to bring somebody with you, I want to encourage you, church, would you come at 6 a.m. just for next week or the Saturday services, because you will be providing a chair for somebody that typically our guests come in this main service time. So go ahead and if you want to serve that way, that would be awesome. So we're excited about this week, Easter, and celebrating together at church. Invite friends, invite your family, and thank you for serving next week. You are going to make a difference, and we're going to be praying that thousands of lives will be changed forever next week. In Jesus' name.
We're anticipating full crowds at Austin Peay at 11. And also at our 9 and 10:30 services at our Rossview campus. Love for you to join us at 6 a.m. That's where the Holy Ghost will be. I'm just telling you, if you don't have a guest coming with you, come with me at 6 a.m. It's going to be a great day, but Easter is always a full day. We've had 8 to 10,000 people on Easter Sunday, and we're planning for that again this year with a lot of different services. So, hey, just real quick, I want to say thank you for being a generous and giving church. We're a church that believes in tithing and giving offerings beyond that. And so the tithe is our first 10%. We bring that to the Lord, and this is all throughout Scripture where the people of God bring their first 10%, and it's not a bill, it's not a tax or a due. This is an act of worship. We sing this worship song today. Thank you, Jesus, for my life, for the blood applied to my life. Well, one of the reasons we tithe is a thank you to the Lord. How many of you are thankful for having a job, everybody? You may not like your job, but you should like that you have a job. Can I hear an amen, everyone? And the way that we provide for our families and our home is through the income that we receive. Well, we bring to the Lord a thanks of that gift, of that salary. We bring our first 10%. And actually, it's a way to hedge against what's happening in our culture. Right now, we're living in a day where people are stressing out, concerned about inflation, rising costs on everything to live life. I just saw a meme this weekend that showed the average house cost across all 50 states. And Tennessee's house cost has increased significantly close behind California. It's because all you dropouts moving over here, bringing your house prices. We're glad you're here. Making my house value go up. But if I'm buying a house, I'm mad at you. Anyway, no, we're glad you're here. But people are nervous. They're nervous about price of gas and all those kind of things. But I'm telling you, one of the ways to hedge against that concern is to put the Lord first in this area of our lives of finances. Listen, when you tithe, you're telling God, you're first, you're before everything. I'm not gonna freak out, I'm not gonna worry. Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, don't be anxious and don't worry. He gave it as a command. And when you're tithing, you're telling yourself, I'm not worried about this economic stuff. Now, don't be careless and frivolous with, but be faithful to God and put him first. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of all your needs. So when you're tithing, you're saying, I'm not worried, I'm not fearful, I'm putting the Lord first, and I'm gonna watch him take care of my needs. All right, I got an amen crowd over here. Come on, little lady. That's all right, let me hold her. She'll be real quiet, I promise. We'll talk the whole time. You know, I didn't mean for you to leave. Ah, jeez. I'm sorry.
Aww.
It's a cute baby. Oh, gosh. We're talking about a virtuous woman today, everybody. That is the sermon title. And we'll get, just take it away, Steph. Just good Lord.
All
I'm
right,
so sorry.
Today we are in our final message in our Words of Wisdom series. And how many have been blessed by this series so far? Yes.
I have. It's been great.
It's been so great. And we've had topics and conversations challenging us to guard our hearts, watch our friendships, to build our lives around the Word of God, follow the warning signs of God. That was a great message. And then last week, Pastor Elmer preached a powerful message teaching us to trust the Lord with all of our heart and to follow him and his understanding. So as a church, you know, we've been receiving so much growth from the book of Proverbs. In fact, one of my daughters told me, she said, Mom, I think I'm getting some wisdom teeth in. And
that's good preaching right there. If
sure
you grow
enough,
teeth.
Sure enough, we were at the orthodontist and had an x-ray, and lo and behold, there were 4 wisdom teeth. And I said, well, that's because we're going through the book of Proverbs and you are gaining so much wisdom. Come on, I thought that was funny.
That's okay. a preacher joke.
Yeah,
that's what that is. That's
joke.
A pastor family
okay.
joke.
All right. So today we're going to be looking at the most famous proverb.
I thought that was hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you. The most famous proverb today about women. We are looking at Proverbs chapter 31. So
Let's go
ahead and turn in your Bible. Yep, we're going to get started here. So if you've never heard or read this proverb, just know that it's an amazing proverb.
It's also something you can compliment your lady with. Girl, you are my Proverbs 31 woman.
And then there's that.
That was my first pickup line to Stephanie.
All right.
You know what you remind me of? The last chapter of Proverbs.
Wow. So we're going to keep a high view of Proverbs 31. I can't look over this way.
This is going to be great.
And we're going to focus on, guys, I'm going to keep the sermon moving today, okay?
And I'm going to keep slowing it down.
This way. So we're going to look at just some of the big rocks of this passage. And a lot of this came from a dear friend of ours, Pastor Amy Visconti. Her and her husband pastor Generation Church in Phoenix. And some of y'all remember her from a couple years ago when she spoke. But before we get to the passage, I wanted to ask you a question. Did you know that Americans spend more money on beauty products and services than any other country in the world?
Wow. Amen. I don't know what that means.
Every year, we are fabulous
or we need a lot of help. I don't know what that means.
Every year, listen to this. Americans, majority being women, we will spend $90 billion working on our beauty, which comes out to about a couple thousand dollars per year for every woman. Worldwide expenditures approach over $400 billion. And statistically speaking, Gen Zers, millennials are spending the most right now on skincare products for their routines because that's the fastest growing division of beauty products.
Can I just interrupt real quick? I just want to do a quick poll. Ladies, be honest. Raise your hand if you have multiple products for your morning or evening face routine. Come on, ladies. Ladies, the rest of you are lying. Good. I'm talking cleansers, serums, scrubbers, setting sprays, toners. Here's one, hyaluronic acid.
How do you know what hyaluronic acid is?
Because I have daughters, that's how I'm. Sandpaper, anybody uses good old 80 grit? Okay, fellas, here's the poll for you. How many of you fellas wash your face once a day with your bare hands and the same bar of soap you wash your butt with? Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about.
Nope. We're moving
and
on.
And somebody was like, wait a minute, isn't the bar dirty from, no, it's first action is your face, and then you work your way down. And then they said, well, what about dirty from the last time? You can't make soap dirty. It's disinfectant. And if you're concerned, just rub it through your hands, let it rinse, and you're good. That's how you, anyway.
All right.
I just want to say we are a cheap part of this $400 billion problem.
The point was that.
Any green Irish Spring guys. That's what I'm talking about.
We
Blue Irish thing. Yeah. How many of you, whatever bar of soap your wife left in the shower, that's what you use? That's right. That's what I'm talking about. We are not the problem.
We're not the problem either.
I didn't say you were. Okay. I'm just saying we're not.
Okay. All right. Listen, on a serious note, though, a lot of this is due to social media, the influence now that our young adults, teenagers, women, that we see these beautiful people on social media. And we have to remember there's tons of filters happening there. They'll take a 900-picture photo shoot to post the best one. You know what I'm saying? And so
AI.
What we're seeing, AI, all these things that aren't even real. And we will spend literally bajillions of dollars trying to look like them. We feel the weight of what that means to be beautiful according to our culture. Yeah. We often define beauty based on how we look because that's what the world tells us to do. Culture is telling us that what we're supposed to look like, and when we don't measure up, we feel that. But now hear me, it's okay that we want to look our best and feel our best.
Right.
But we don't want our value to be tied to our external appearance. So just in case you forgot, our looks don't define who we are.
Totally. Absolutely.
So today we're going to discover from God's word that he has a different standard of beauty that doesn't come from the world's expectations. And we're going to look at what the Lord has to say about beauty and, more importantly, the type of woman that God wants us to become. Now, this message is not just for the ladies, but it is for everyone.
Yeah, as you look through the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that much of it is written to men or a male audience. And part of that's because Solomon wrote most of this book, was writing to his sons. He was writing to other men in his leadership world. And so there is a vibe that it's a male-centric letter or book. So fellas, I want to encourage you to man up and read the book of Proverbs as a way of saying, God, how do you want my life to be a reflection of your word for me from the book of Proverbs? By the way, we've been reading through the Proverbs of the day these last 2 months. There is so much wisdom there, right? Well, then we get to Proverbs 31, and it's finally a chapter about women, but still not necessarily written to women. It's an interesting reality there. But we read it sometimes, and ladies, you go, is this a to-do list? Is this a to-be list? Or is it even possible to look like a Proverbs 31 woman? But I want to say this, and it's weird, but it's actually a chapter written to men, also about women. So guys, you can't check out on this sermon because it's about women. It was actually written to guys, and here's how we need to appropriate this into our lives. Fellas, this is about speaking to you about what to look for in a wife if you're not married, how to pray over your wife if you are married, and how to raise your daughters if you're a father to girls. Ladies, I want you to also be open to hearing this, not as a to-do list or some kind of new legalism, but I want you to be open to God's word and say, wow, there's some areas of virtue and excellence that I can grow in as I serve the Lord as well. Are we clear on all that, everybody? Okay, good. Let's read it together. I just want to read the whole text, and there's 22 verses here, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through the end of the chapter, and we're looking at how to be an excellent, virtuous woman. Okay, here we go. Verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's still yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and she buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She's energetic, she's hardworking. Verse 19, she puts her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow because she's from Ohio.
Amen.
I'm from New Orleans. I don't even believe in snow or cats. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in layers of scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when she sits among the elders of the land, when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and she sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also calls her blessed and he praises her, saying, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
Okay, right now I feel like that is a list of impossibilities. Anyone else read that? Ladies were like, oh my goodness. Typically, Proverbs 31 has been viewed as a seemingly impossible checklist that for women that we don't feel like we can measure up to. But I want to encourage you today. This description is actually an encouragement. This list today, as we go through it, is going to be encouragement for everyone, and that's our first point. So the first point today is be encouraged.
Yeah, be encouraged.
Be encouraged. Now, when we read this chapter, I see this woman that appears to be a godly, God-fearing, confident woman. She's a seamstress, real estate broker. She cares for the poor. She's a perfected homemaker. She's an entrepreneur, and the list goes on and on and on. However, instead of looking at this as a checklist to measure up to, I want to consider this from a totally different framework. But first, we want to look at the history and the backstory of this passage, because remember, context is part of the text. Yeah. So I'm going to bring you in on something. You ready? This is not a real woman.
Gasp.
This would be considered
an
idealized person or a list of an ideal characteristics for women based on the teachings of King Lemuel's mother. And let me show you. Go look at verse 1 of chapter 31. Jump to that verse real quick. The very first verse in chapter 31 says this: the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So here we see that it's King Lemuel's mother that taught him these things, mother to son, like a mother teaching their children what's important. Now, King Lemuel, you say, well, who's that? It's a rather obscure name in scripture, and we don't really have a lot of information about him. There is this Jewish legend that suggests that King Lemuel might actually be a pseudonym for King Solomon, which would mean that his mother would be Bathsheba, which is an interesting reality. We're not for sure about that. Who knows? But she was teaching, this mother was teaching this son what to look for in a wife. So looking at the structure of the text, starting in verse 10, that's the section we looked at today, I have a nerdy fun fact for everybody, okay? In the original language of Hebrew, this is actually written as a poetic acrostic. Do y'all remember what an acrostic is?
C is for cookie. And cookie is
right. Like when a first letter is for something, did I have to do the impression? I don't know.
Okay.
C is for China. C is for China. Okay.
Okay. So this section of
Proverbs
31. Thank you. So listen, it's a poem. This is a poem that uses the letters.
C is for, come on, man. Come on, man. All right. That's my Biden. I got more. Keep going.
Okay. So Proverbs 31 is a poem that uses the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, or the word alephbet, to describe each characteristic. Yep. So every line or verse, like verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, begins with a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet describing a godly wife.
So like A is for amazing, B is for beautiful, C, the mother is teaching her son what to look for in a wife one day using the alephbet, is the Hebrew word for the alphabet. And so anyway.
Yeah, so in the Hebrew alphabet, there's 22 letters, and you notice in this passage, there's 22 verses.
Right.
So I think it's really cool how that correlates. And in the Old Testament, it's not uncommon that they would use this literary device because it would make it easier for them to memorize scripture.
Yeah.
They did not have like...
copies.
They didn't have copies of God's word just floating around. It was an oral tradition, so you would pass on to your children. That's today, we still kind of have nursery rhymes. Well, that's what this would have been. So there are some famous acrostic poems in the Old Testament you may not even have been aware of, but Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in your Bible, that works through the acrostic poem 8 times.
Wow.
It's so long, times 22 sections each time. So I just love learning all those little nerdy fun facts about the word, because the more you dig into God's word and learn these things, the more I want to study God's word. Amen? When we get into this stuff. So this chapter describes what King Lemuel's mother, I want you to get this, wanted to teach him about what to look for in a wife, that she was to be a virtuous woman. So basically, it's a mother's wish list for her son, and she set out a ton of ideals for her son to look for, which I think is great. So So that helps us set the background of this list, and it is a very positive list of virtues.
Yeah, it's a lot of encouragement in this text. It's things to look for, and a lot of you maybe did this when you were younger. You put a list of things you want in a husband one day or a wife one day, and this is King Lemuel's mother teaching him this as a kid. These are the things you want to look for: an industrious wife. You want a woman who is full of faithfulness and trustworthiness, and this is not some thing that's been required on all women if they want to measure up in the future. By the way, the whole proverb uses the term wife a lot. And I want us to back it up and realize, first of all, in order to become a virtuous wife, you need to first be a virtuous woman. And you don't just get married and then all of a sudden, boom, you become this virtuous, you know, woman full of character. That starts beforehand. In fact, if you ever want to be a virtuous husband, you need to figure that stuff out when you're a young man or a teenager. By the way, this is why we should desire this in our teen years. This is why student ministry, young adult ministry is so important, our kid point, because we want to pray these things over our kids, pray these things over our daughters. It's not a required list of behaviors, but these are virtues that we should desire, and men can desire these virtues as well. Let me just tell you something. Let me ask you this. Men, how many of you want a good and virtuous wife or future wife for your life? None of you guys care. Okay, good. Women, how many of you ladies want a good and virtuous man or a husband one day, right? If you're married now, pray these virtues over your spouse now. Parents, how many of you want a good and virtuous woman for your sons to marry one day or a good and virtuous man for your daughters to marry one day? Can I hear an amen? One of my favorite things to do is when I do a hospital visit for a new baby, I get to hold the baby and I always pray over that kid on the day they were born or the day after. And in my prayer, I pray for their blessing, protection, that they'll serve God all the days of their life. And in that hospital room, I pray for their for the little girl's husband and for the little boy's wife one day. And I say, God, you know where that other person is somewhere in the world. And I pray that they'd be full of faith and raised in the church and they'd love Jesus and that this baby would too. How many of you know God knows who you're going to be with one day, right? Well, as we're talking about that, let me just push on this as we're encouraging you from this text. We live in a world with dating apps and like a culture of dating and hookup culture. And that's just not the world that we lived in when we were like, we actually had face-to-face dinners and conversations and landlines. I remember the first time I ever called her was on a phone attached to a wall. We're that old, people. We actually started dating before I had a cell phone, everybody. That was texting. What the heck was that? Today, they say on average, young adults have 8 to 12 dating apps on their phone. And you say, wow, but a lot of people are using these. And the fact is, it's actually training us in some really bad behaviors. Here's the worst behavior we learn: swipe. If I don't like what I see, I just keep swiping. How do you see character? How do you see virtue? How do you see integrity through a photograph? And I'm just telling you, hang on. We're training our eyes to be the filter by which we fall for someone instead of our heart and the love of God and the connection between the Holy Spirit. And if we don't like what we see, we just swipe again. And then it's created this hookup culture. Look, we do it in dating apps. We do it on Netflix. We can't even decide. How many of you go, I'm going to watch a movie tonight, and you spend 30 minutes trying to decide which Liam Neeson film is your most exciting version of the same story? I've got a special set of skills, you know, like every movie with him is the same one. But we've trained ourselves, if we don't like what we see at first glance, just keep swiping. And you know what it's produced in us? A generation of people who don't know commitment, who don't know how to look for virtue and character. Can I just tell you, like, Jeremiah 6:16 says, when you're in a place of conflict, like, seek the ancient path. Can we go old school on this? Can we seek people for virtue and character, not what they look like and not their highlight reel? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there now of a highlight photo versus the real person. That's all fake. Who they are is what they say and how they live and what they do with their lives. I want to encourage all of you to delete those apps off your phone, if I'm being really honest, as your pastor. Like, meet someone in a small group, meet someone in a serve team, meet somebody at your church, and just pray that God, who knows your future and your eternity, can bring someone into your life and stop looking for A is for abs, B is for body, C is for cash. Man, we want to go to this acrostic. It's old school, it's ancient, but man, there are some great values that we see in a virtuous person, and I think God's word is better than the latest dating app. Can I hear an amen from somebody? All right.
So who is this idealized Proverbs 31 woman that we keep talking about? And now we're going to talk about the six big takeaways from this proverb. We're going to just dive right in. So let's look at them together. That's the second point: six traits of a virtuous and excellent woman. Six traits of a virtuous and excellent woman.
Yeah, we could talk about a lot more. And what we don't want to do is go, if you're going to be a virtuous woman, you have to behave this way. We want to see the behaviors in this list and then look at the attributes that produce those behaviors. Does that make sense? So we're looking at character qualities and traits. And the first one is she is trustworthy. A virtuous woman, an excellent wife, she's trustworthy. Look at verse 11 and 12. I just love this text. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Ladies, you want this for your husband too, by the way. You want a man that is trustworthy. Look at this. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Those things are connected. The fact that his life is fruitful is connected to the fact that he has a wife who's trustworthy. Do you see that? He trusts her completely, and his life will not lack. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Can I tell you, we live in a culture, and you see it on movies and film, where we're just bad-mouthing our husband behind his back, and we got our little group of gossip, and guys do that stuff too. Man, we see trustworthiness as a high value, and it builds a life together with your husband. Ladies, part of your character under the Lordship of Christ is that you're virtuous, you have integrity, people trust you. Your friends trust you. Your kids trust your character. People know that you will do what you say you're going to do. And most of all, your husband wants to have absolute trust in you. And listen, build this into your character when you're single, when you're dating. Like before you get into marriage, you want to have these as just stalwart characters in who you are. It's part of God's desire that he can trust you as well. Jesus taught in the parable of the talents. At the end of that story, he tells that the master looks at the ones with the talents and said, I've trusted you with a little, now I can trust you with more. God wants to be able to trust you. Your husband needs to be able to trust you. You want to know one of the most destabilizing things for your marriage is to be a wife who her husband can't trust her. And I think the opposite is true too. Fellas, if you want to destroy your marriage, be a man your wife can't trust. That she's always suspicious. Look, give away passwords. Give, like, both of our faces open each other's phones. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no secret there. We have to build trust. God wants it. Your kids need it. Your spouse needs it. And if you're single now, build that as a personality trait and a character trait that you have now. And notice, again, the connection. He lacks nothing because she's trustworthy. Guard your integrity. Be women of your word. Trust is the currency of a healthy relationship. When trust is strong, relationship can last forever. When trust is broken, it can erode the strength of your relationship. So be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God's word. Be a faithful friend. Be a faithful mother, wife, sister. Be faithful to your husband and your family. That means protect your words. It means guard your eyes and your heart, what you put into your life, who you let into your life. Guard that and guard it together. Like, don't let somebody in your life that she doesn't know about or that he doesn't know about. Guard what you read and listen to. Protect your heart from the outside. Be faithful with money. Be faithful with spending. I know it's TikTok cute to have this little secret stash of things you've been shopping for online, but that erodes trust. Ladies, let the Lord grow you as a trustworthy person. Let me just challenge you with some questions on this. You need to ask yourself, am I a trustworthy person? And if you're not clear, ask him. Ask your kids, do I do what I say I'm gonna do? Do you trust me? Ask your colleagues or coworkers. And one of the best ways for you to grow in trustworthiness is in the context of accountability found in a small group. I would encourage every one of you to be in a small group. Give away your life to other people to grow as a person of trustworthiness and person who's faithful.
Yeah, that's great. The second point is that she is kind. She is kind. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This cannot be understated. Listen, your words have so much weight and so much power, and so does your tone. Your words may communicate truth and wisdom, but your tone communicates kindness and virtue.
That's good.
Now, this is something I am constantly working on at home, and my girls can amen and attest to that, and I know Mike can amen even more than them. You know, ladies, when we start to feel irritated about something in the house and then the temperature just starts to go down because when we're mad, you know what I'm talking. Am I the only one that knows? Okay.
Fellas, we have a support group that's meeting Tuesday
mornings.
Listen,
I'm being really honest about this. We must guard against our mood dictating our kindness.
That's great.
This includes our tone, facial expressions, our body language. And Mike, I'm not looking at you right now on purpose.
I'm looking at you.
Sometimes we wonder Sometimes we wonder why our children speak and talk the way they do disrespectfully. Well, mom, dad, friend, maybe it's the way we're speaking to them and we're modeling this. Ouch. So be full of kind words to your husband, your children. They are a gift from the Lord. And remember, the Lord is kind to us.
So we
can be kind to others. I love hate Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath. So many times I want to elevate to fix a situation. How many know what I'm talking about? But the second half of that proverb says, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's a known quality of a woman and a wife whose God is the Lord and who is growing in virtue as a godly woman. So I want to remind you, moms, disciplining your kids is a form of kindness, but be kind in doing so. If you find that you get angry and you're an exploder, you need to change. You need to apologize discipline with kindness. It can be done. Women, we carry so much responsibility and there's so much stress in our lives, but I want to encourage you, we can carry kindness throughout all of the responsibilities that we have. In the midst of all that, this Proverbs 31 woman, she's busy. She's in the market field, she's making deals, she's at home, she's raising children, but the Bible says that she had kindness on her lips. So one of the ways that we can grow in that is to serve others. Just like this weekend, so many of you served on Serve Day, and there were no strings attached. You just showed kindness, whether you're rocking a baby and serving on a dream team, whether you're Serve Day. So those are opportunities and ways that we can grow. So let's grow in our kindness.
Third virtue of this woman, according to Proverbs 31, she's clothed with strength and dignity. And the text literally says in Proverbs 31:25, strength and dignity are her clothing. And then she laughs at the time to come. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But I love this. We're in a fashion-forward culture, and women are always the top models for fashion. Sorry, fellas, you might think you're looking great, but we're just not as good as the ladies. Forever, though, men just wore suits, right, and hats and a button-up. Like, that's my outfit all the time, dark pants and a button-up. As long as I've been a pastor, Stephanie calls it my uniform. Ladies typically are way better at fashion and dressing well. It's something I've learned as a girl dad. I grew up wearing the clothes that I slept in to school the next day. Middle school were some tough years for me. But anyway, I have girls who love thrifting and putting outfits together and doing makeup and doing hair, hyaluronic acid on their face. I mean, my favorite is when my girls look at my outfit and they go, Dad, what are you wearing? Why are you going out of the house in that? In fact, today I have on these socks because they are totally utilitarian. They work. And my daughter asked me after first service, Dad, what socks are you wearing today? I say, back off. But ladies, I want you to hear this. Your greatest outfit is your character. Your greatest outfit is who you are. It's your strength in Jesus. It's that you're covered in a life with dignity and respect for God and others. The future, look, I love it. It says, like, the future doesn't scare us. Why? Because I'm clothed in faith in God, and my strength and my dignity is what clothes me. Listen, your greatest outfit is who you are, not the clothes you wear. I'm telling you, fashion trends change. How many of you can believe that we're doing bell bottoms again? My Lord, we've lived through this hell 4 times. We went through skinny jeans. Good Lord, we all made it, everybody. And now we got these baggy mom jeans back too. This is crazy. Fashion trends come and go. Ladies, wives, single ladies, moms, I want you to grow in integrity and dignity, mental, spiritual health. Let's let God grow us in our physical health. And listen, modesty is about honoring God. It's not about policing and control. Modesty is because I belong to Jesus. It's because I'm a daughter of the King, and I dress in a way, and I clothe my life with integrity, character, dignity. Modesty is not about policing you. It's about carrying yourself in a way that honors your Lord, honors your husband, your kids, and others. I'm telling you, don't compromise your dignity to get something else in this life. You deserve to live healthy, with modesty, carrying yourself with good health and strength because you're special to the Lord and you're worthy of his honor.
Now, that's great. Number four, she makes a home. She makes a home. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
She's not lazy.
Our culture has looked down on this title, homemaker, as if it's a second-rate opportunity for women. A homemaker doesn't mean that we are not to work and that we only have to stay home. This Proverbs 31 woman obviously was out and about making business deals. It sounds like a working woman to me. But I do want to say, for some of us, staying home may be the absolute best decision for your family, whether it's for a season or for always. I want us to reframe our view of what it means to be a homemaker. We can all agree that it's super valuable to turn a house or an apartment into a home. This would be where we cultivate a culture and nurture an atmosphere where we feel like home is a place of order, peace, and rest. Now, I remember in college, before Mike and I were married, we lived in separate dorms. And let me tell you, when I would go in his dorm, there was a unique smell.
It was awesome.
You know, when you go in a guy's place, you know what I'm talking about?
And the smell of victory.
There may or may not have been toilet paper readily available.
You don't always need that.
But the ladies' dorms, you know, like we strung lights, there were pictures hung, like we worked hard to like coordinate. We actually gave thought to it. Listen, ladies, I think we're just more naturally wired for those things. But this isn't just a wife assignment, because we certainly want to share the responsibilities of the house with everyone living there.
Yeah,
I do want
right.
to say that. If there's more than one person living in your house, you need to have a little powwow about who's going to do what. Amen? Yeah, someone to write the bills, meal prep, grocery shop, lawn, all the things, trash, you know. You have to have a plan for that stuff. But someone, as women, we should want to see that those things are covered and accomplished, and then we get to delegating. Right? Amen. Okay. But your home should have order. If you don't... I didn't see what he did.
If I just looked at you.
Okay.
I think they're interpreting their own anxiety about this.
Listen, if you don't manage your home, it will manage you. And you don't want a home of stress and chaos. You want a home of peace and rest for yourself, too.
And this is more the leading edge for a nurturing female. It's the way God's wired you.
Yeah, the Bible calls us a helper. The Bible calls us a helper, and sometimes we bristle at that like it's not great. But I help Mike all the time. I do love that role, and it is a great responsibility. Listen to this. Jesus literally called the Holy Spirit our helper.
I'm not doing anything.
Ladies.
You're laughing at
Listen,
I swear, I'm
if
fine.
The Holy
I'm not.
Spirit, I'm gonna keep going. If the Holy Spirit is a helper, amen, I can be called a helper.
That's right.
I think this is a great divine attribute that we get to operate in, and God has gifted us, ladies, to operate in this. So
I love it. Number five, we got to wrap up here soon. She's full of faith and confident in the Lord. Proverbs 31, 21, and 25. We read this earlier. She's not afraid of snow for her household. You got to remember, they're in a desert community, the writers writing this. So snow is like this really foreign concept. For all of her household are clothed in layers of scarlet. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And look at this. She laughs at the time that's to come. I referenced these scriptures already, but I want you to look at the second half of verse 25. She laughs at the time to come. The idea here is she's not worried. She doesn't carry anxiety or fear about tomorrow. And what do we know is the opposite of fear? It's faith. It starts in verse 21, says she's not afraid of snow. That's referring not to literal snow, because it was not a real snowy culture there, but it's the fact that changes of circumstances, bad weather, situations out of her control, don't worry her or cause her to fear. And let me tell you something, mom, ladies, when you are fretting and fearful in the home, everyone feels that. Everyone's anxious around at work, in your company, if you're leading a company and you're leading with fear and anxiety and worry. But the reason you're not afraid is because you're full of faith. That's the opposite of fear, is faith. How do we grow in our faith? Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Jude 1, verse 20 says, faith is built and built up stronger in prayer. So I want to encourage you, part of this virtue in this woman is that she's a person of prayer. She's a person of God's word. She's a person of faith. And I'm telling you, everyone in your life is blessed because of your faith and your faithfulness to the Lord and your confidence in God. I'll tell you, your husband and kids benefit greatly because you trust the Lord. You're not rattled by the unknown, and you act and live in a way that you keep your confidence in God on full display. Hey, we're gonna trust the Lord for this. We're gonna believe God for our kids. We're gonna believe God for our economy, for our budget to come through this year. Hey, we're gonna make the right decisions under the Lord because we're full of faith. Guys, typically, we tend to be, when there's a problem, we go fix it. We go into the battle. We go head first into things. And ladies, I wanna encourage you, be a sounding board of faith for your husband. Be a lady who's just full of faith and full of confidence in the Lord. Jesus commands us not to worry. Commands us not to be anxious. Statistically, women are way more prone to worry and to fret. But you trust the Lord above all else. Trust the Lord more than yourself. Trust God more than your husband. Trust in the Lord more than anybody else. And I'm telling you, it brings settle and confidence to the rest of your home.
That's great. Number six, she is passionate and hardworking. We are to be diligent and hardworking. It seems like there's so much to be done as a wife, a mom, having a job, and the old adage that says a mother's work is never done. A job starts and stops, it has its own time frames, but you never clock out of being a wife and a mom. But that is a beautiful calling as we strive to honor our husband and lead and care for our children. But beyond even being a wife and a mom, we want to be living as a woman under Christ in a way that pleases the Lord. So ladies, I want to encourage you today. We are passionate for the Lord. We're passionate for our family. Single ladies, we are passionate for serving the Lord and praying over a family that God may one day bring to us, and we're going to build that life now.
Yep.
We're passionate also for our spiritual family. I love Proverbs 31, was it verse 20? That sums up this entire sermon well. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Women, we're to be praised because we fear the Lord, not about being charming and beautiful. That's a fleeting reality and not the real substance of a woman. There's that phrase, the fear of the Lord, that we've heard many times throughout this series. Fear of the Lord meaning like we love God. We honor him above all else. Yeah. Listen, the physical beauty that this world wants us to build our lives on, it's vanity. It's here, it's gone, comes and goes. But it's our godly character that's going to carry us.
That's right.
Listen, I hate to tell you, ladies, those wrinkles that we're trying so hard to get rid of, they're coming. That gray hair we're trying to cover, it's coming. You know what the Bible says about gray hair? It's a sign of wisdom. Your worth is defined in the Lord, not your looks.
So good. Look at the promises that come with this way of living under the Lord. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. How many of you want your kids at the end of your life to go, what a wonderful woman. What a godly example. Are you perfect? No. But you still want them to see you as the virtuous, godly, wonderful woman that God has designed you to be. Fellas, I want the same for you. By the way, the greatest achievement any of us could possibly accomplish in our life is to end this life with the people the closest to us, loving us and respecting the person that we are under Christ. John Maxwell said, my greatest desire is for the people closest to me who know me the best, love me and respect me the most. How many of us know, folks, that man, the people that, like our parents, we know who they really are, and everybody else says one thing about them, but we know who they really are, and that doesn't match up. I'm telling you, part of being an integrous, virtuous person is the people closest to us who know us the most, love us, and respect us the best. Fellas, this is what we're aiming for as well. We don't need more accolades, plaques, or pay raises. We need our wives and kids to love and respect us deeply. In the Jewish culture, traditionally, men would memorize these acrostic poems, and they would pray them as a blessing over their wives to honor them. This is why King Lemuel's mother taught him this, so that he would know it. And then years later, he writes it as a proverb for us from memory. But he would use it as a way to bless his wife. And Stephanie, I just want to honor you with some words that I wrote for you. I want to honor you as my wife. I see this verse, this passage lived out in you in a lot of areas. I know that our kids do as well. And we'll continue to see the character of a godly and virtuous woman in you. I do praise God for you. And I brag on you a lot. And I thank you for living well under Christ, for loving me, putting up with me and our family and our church so well. It's not just something you've recently discovered. These are qualities that you have carried for longer than I've known you. You've been developing and cultivating this for the 24 years we've been together, but even before I ever met you, this is who you were becoming. So I'm getting to live in the fruit of seeds of virtue that you planted years before we met and that you've been cultivating since you were a young woman. And I just want to say thank you, and I'm truly blessed by you. Praise the Lord.
Women, I honor you today. I honor you as women who are trustworthy, kind. I want to say this blessing over you: strong and dignified, excellent homemakers, confident, full of faith, and hardworking. Men, honor the women in your lives, whether it's your wife, mother, daughter. Parents, let's raise our sons to fear the Lord and to marry a virtuous woman one day. Yeah. Daughters, I challenge you to continue to develop into a virtuous woman. Now, I just want to ask if there's one of those six areas that we talked about today that you feel like the Holy Spirit was kind of rubbing on you a little bit. The Holy Spirit's good to bring that conviction. So if there's an area, we want to pray over that right now as we close, that you say, I need to just make some changes in my home. I need to make some changes in my character. Men, maybe you've been looking for the wrong thing in the wrong way, and you say, I need to realign with God's word.
Right.
We want to pray over that for you today.
Right.
So if you would, in fact, will you just stand with us today as we kind of close out this moment in prayer?
Oh, sorry.
Lord, thank you. God, God, for this opportunity to look at Proverbs 31. Lord, thank you that you give us words of wisdom, God, ways to live our life. Thank you, God, that you have something for each of us today in this message. Holy Spirit, speak to us right now about those areas that you're challenging us to grow in and make changes in. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you will give us the ability to laugh at the days to come, Lord. We're not overwhelmed with our responsibilities, but God, there's a joy and a peace that comes with caring for our home, Lord. I pray that you would bless the men of this house, that they would be God-honoring men and men of integrity who will fear the Lord. And we just thank you for what you're doing and how you're changing us in Jesus' name. Thank you.
God, we're thankful for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that we hear the word of God with as an encouragement, as a challenge to step forward into the things that you've called us to be and to do. And Lord, I pray that every one of us would hear this chapter from Proverbs 31 and say, Lord, I have room to grow and I will step into what you're calling me forward in. Now, God, if there's anyone here that says, I need to first give my life to Jesus, that is the greatest step you'll ever make, by the way. If you wanna grow to be more godly, you gotta get close to God himself. He'll set you free and change you. I want to ask everybody, if that's your desire today, you want to recommit your life to the Lord, or for the first time say, man, I need to get close to Jesus. I need to know the Lord. I believe in him and I'm ready to give my life to him. Would everyone pray this prayer with me, watching online, joining us here in the room or at Austin Peay? Come on, pray this with me. Say, God, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who gave his life on a cross for my sin, raised from the dead to give me new life, paying for my eternity. I accept it by faith. I receive your salvation. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess my sins in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, I'm all in. Say it for real. God, I'm all in. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Now, Lord, make me the person you have called me to be. You have designed me to be, full of virtue, faith, strength, and dignity.
We're so happy that you joined us today. We hope that you've been inspired and challenged by today's message. If you'd like to grow in your walk with Jesus, stay connected, or partner with us through generosity, be sure to visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.